Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
My goodness. Well, what a privilege it is to be here. As Pastor Antonio said, I've just been watching what God's been doing here at the Revive this month and just seeing you come tonight. Just want to let you know you're not here by accident. I want to let you know you made a good decision coming tonight. Whatever you've been thinking about, whatever you've been feeling the last couple days, I believe that God sees it and he hears what you've been saying lately. And so before I get started, I want to thank God for the leadership of the church here at The Rock. Aren't you so grateful for Pastor Dan and our founding pastor here, Pastor Jim, their wives, just incredible story here. We were in the back talking just about the history of the church here. And if you don't have a church you go to on Sundays, or I mean, this is the place to be. This is like legendary stuff. Took me 3 hours to get here from LA, but you know, if you're anywhere closer than 3 hours, I would encourage that you come out to The Rock. And also want to thank God for your pastors here, Pastor Antonio, his lovely wife. Weren't they awesome? I don't know where she went, but she could sing. We're more excited about your baby than you. Okay, 3-month-old baby. I just saw the baby and just lost it. And so we thank God for you, man. Congratulations again. A little bit about me. My name's Billy. I love Jesus. He's everything to me. I started following him about 7 years ago and was real far from God. Didn't like church. Just kind of saw it as a fake place. Never really thought that people were real in church. And so I was just kind of doing my thing. And when I was 21, I was diagnosed with stage 4 testicular cancer, and that moment changed everything for me. Just started a very deep process in my life where I started to realize there's got to be more to life than just this life. And when you're facing death, you start to think a little bit more about life. And I met Jesus through that and started chemotherapy, went through all these surgeries, and just kind of developed this trust on God that I had heard everyone talk about, but never actually did it myself. Sometimes it's not until you're in something that you truly appreciate who God is. And it was those seasons that I really met Jesus in a new way. And today, no cancer in my body, completely healed. Yeah, just amazing what God's been doing. And my wife and I, my wife Randy of 5 years, we pastor a campus now in Torrance, with traffic 15 hours from here. But my wife and I were youth pastors for 6 years in the Palm Springs area, and God called us kind of to LA just to continue what our pastors have started. And so super, super excited to be here tonight. I'm glad to have my dad with me tonight too. My dad is here on the front row. And I called him, I said, hey, you wanna come to San Bernardino? He's like, what's going on in San Bernardino? I'm like, I'm speaking at The Rock. Oh my gosh, I'll be right there. And so excited to have him here tonight. It's just gonna be a great night. Believe God wants to speak to you. And I hope you're ready to hear from him. Whatever your expectancy is, that's usually what you'll receive. One of my mentors says, the God you see is the God you get. And so if you see God as just this guy way up there and we just got to keep him happy, you'll approach him that way. But if you see God as someone that loves you, someone that did something for you, someone that is intimately involved with you, you'll approach him differently. So I don't know what your view of God is tonight. Maybe you're here, someone tricked you to come, or maybe you're here and you're not really a Christian, but you're kind of just here. I want to let you know you're safe. You're in a good place. Nothing crazy is going to happen tonight, but God is going to let you know how much he loves you. And so I'm excited about that. If you have a Bible tonight, would you open it up to the book of Proverbs chapter 25? And while you're turning there, last year, a couple months ago, I had a privilege of writing a book, my first book. It's called Riot: Why the Gospel Means More Than Going to Church. And I brought it with me tonight because it just got some in and just thought it'd be a cool place to let you get a chance to get one. This book, I kind of wrote it for people that want a little bit more out of their relationship with God. There's some stories in here about how to talk to people on the streets about Jesus. Some stories in here about how to witness to people of other religions. There's some tools in here, how to reach people at your workplace, how to love on an atheist. I mean, there's some really good stuff in here. Just stuff that I think will be helpful for you. And so I brought it with me tonight. You can pick it up afterwards. I want to give it to my man right here with the checkered shirt. Yeah, man, here, you could have this for you. There you go. And you have to read it now because I gave it to you, so. Do people read your book? Yeah, when I give it to them. All right, Proverbs chapter 25. I'm excited to preach tonight. And if you're there, say, I'm there. Very interesting text. I was preparing for this, and I read this in my one-year Bible about 3 weeks ago. And normally when I go preach somewhere, I kind of got a message that I've done before and kind of pray through it. I'm like, okay, this is what God wants me to use this and speak on this, and this is the season. And I read this in my one-year Bible, and I just started weeping as I read it. And I still am trying to figure it out. So tonight we're going to kind of look at it together. And if it doesn't make sense, I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm hoping tonight that this speaks to you like it spoke to me. Proverbs chapter 25, starting in verse 1, we're going to read 7 verses, which, you know, if you didn't read your Bible today, this counts as half of a Bible reading. So it was a joke, bad joke. Okay, Proverbs chapter 25, starting in verse 1. When you're ready, say, I'm ready. Here reads the word of the Lord. It said, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of God of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Verse 4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established forever in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward. Verse 6, I want you to see this here. Verse 6 says this, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. I want to draw your attention to verse 6 tonight of Proverbs chapter 25 as we kind of continue our theme of revive this month and just believe God's going to speak to us. Verse 6 says this, for it is, do not put yourself forward into the king's presence. In other words, don't push yourself into a position. Don't go around making sure everybody sees you. Don't force something to happen. Because it's better to be told come up than to be put down. I want to preach a message to you tonight called That Doesn't Work Anymore. That Doesn't Work Anymore. That Doesn't Work Anymore. That Doesn't Work Anymore. If you're taking notes, write that down. That Doesn't Work Anymore. Can we pray for our time together? Father, we love you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this awesome church. Thank you for this awesome moment. I pray people that are new here would feel welcome. Pray for people that have been coming here that they would see something fresh tonight. Ask, Lord, that people wouldn't see me, but they would see you. They wouldn't hear my words, but they would hear your words. We take this moment serious. We want to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you so much, man. Turn to like 2 or 3 people. Say, that doesn't work anymore. That doesn't work anymore. If they don't smile at you, turn to somebody else and say, that doesn't work anymore. That doesn't work anymore. That doesn't work anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, question for you tonight. Have you ever done anything stupid? Don't point at people. My goodness. My man was like, you ever done something stupid before? Just after you did it, you're like, ah, shouldn't have done this. True story. This was Memorial Day weekend back home in Palm Springs before we moved. And my wife had invited me to go with her to her Nana's house for Memorial Day, kind of like a lunch thing that we were having. Now, here's the thing about my wife. She's Hispanic. And so her family is a lot bigger than my family, okay? My family is my dad, my mom, my sister. That's all it's ever been. That's all, you know, we got some aunts and uncles, you know, off in the countryside, you know what I mean? But it's just, you know, it's just kind of always been us four. My wife's family, there's like 7 tias and, you know, 5 tios and cousins in certain countries that I didn't even know existed. I mean, like I get nervous at holidays because I forget everyone's name. We've been married 5 years, 5 Thanksgivings, and I'm always kind of like, Mike, or is that Jose? You know? And so we were at Memorial Day, we were having lunch, and a bunch of her cousins were there, and it was all her family, and we're all just hanging out. And she has 3 little cousins. 1 is 8, 1 is 5, and then one of them is 3. Gracie's 3, sweetest little girl. I mean, you know, a 3-year-old, like they're learning stuff, and they just say stuff that you want to say. You know, they just blurt stuff out, and you're like, I've been wanting to say that, you know? So I was playing with them, and they had super soakers, and like we were running around, we were playing, you know, like water balloon wars and stuff, and like I'm trying to be like the cool cousin. You know, and you know what it's like playing with like a 3-year-old. You're like, oh, you got me again. You know, oh, I lost again. And so they were playing in the yard, and there was this fence in between the yard and where everyone was eating. And so I got done with them, and I went back around. And I sit down, and I start eating. And as I'm eating, some of the boys, the 2 older boys, they start throwing water balloons over the fence. And I'm sitting there eating. I'm trying to enjoy my Memorial Day lunch. And, you know, some of them are hitting. And I'm just like, ah, guys, knock it off, you know. And their mom was like, you better stop it, you know. And my wife was kind of like, you guys, knock it off. And I'm getting mad. You know, they keep throwing it over there. And I'm like, ah, good one, you know. Trying to enjoy my lunch, you know. And they just wouldn't stop. They're laughing. You thought you won, all this stuff. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, okay, all right, keep talking, you know, all right. And so I finally get up. And one of them throws the water balloon over the fence, okay? Can't make this up. I walked up to it. I caught it. It was like I was playing Call of Duty, and it was a grenade I was throwing back, you know? I caught it barehanded. I took one step onto the fence, grabbed the top. I leaned up over it, and I threw it down. And I thought I was throwing it at one of the two boys, but ended up hitting little Gracie right in the face, and she ran off crying. You ever done something stupid? I look back at my wife like I just accomplished something. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. She's looking at me like, her whole family has stopped eating and they're looking at me like, whose husband is that? You know, who's the white boy over there hurting our children? And I had this moment where I realized, like, if I was like their age, that would have been an awesome moment. I would have won. I would have got it right in the face. I would have walked off in my victory parade. But as a 28-year-old, that's not a good moment. There was this thought that I had where I was like, man, like that kind of action would have worked when I was their age. But now that I've grown up, there are certain things that don't work anymore. You don't get the same response as you did back then. Have you ever noticed this about your life? As you grow, what used to work last year might not work this year. Have you ever thought about this before? Like certain habits you had before don't really work anymore? Like I'm almost 30 years old and I can't eat Lucky Charms and Cocoa Puffs every morning for breakfast. When I was 19, that was no problem. I was throwing cereal back every morning. But I'm starting to realize as I grow, certain things don't work. I've noticed this about following Jesus. Even certain things in your spiritual life that might have worked before might not work anymore. There is a tension when it comes to following Jesus because as we were singing tonight, we want to be filled up with God. But is it possible that God can give us all of himself in one moment? I think he is so much bigger than that. I think that he kind of shows us parts of himself. And as we grow and as we want to know him more, we're suddenly brought into a deeper relationship with him. But it starts with us going to the next level. It starts with us desiring something different. I say it like this, a new miracle and a new season also requires a new mindset. You can't expect new things when you still have old thinking patterns. You can't expect a new season to come if you're still speaking like the last season. You can't expect positive things to happen if all we ever do is speak negatively. Are you following me? And there's this tension. How do we get to the next level? Jesus says this in John 16. I love this. He says this. He says, I still have many things to say to you. He's speaking with his disciples one day, and they're talking, and in John chapter 16 and verse 12, he says this, I still have many things to say to you. Like, I want to tell you so much. Like, I want to tell you the plan for your life. I want to tell you why you went through what you went through. I want to tell you what, you know, applying for that job is really going to mean for you. I want to tell you these things, but you can't bear them right now. I read that, and I was frustrated, because I'm like, I want you, Jesus. And he's kind of like, you're just not ready for all that I have for you. Like, if God were to show me that I would be speaking here at Rock Young Adults tonight last year, I would be freaking out. Like, what do you mean? Oh, my gosh. But sometimes he reveals things in steps so we don't get overwhelmed. He says this, you can't bear them now. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. In other words, I'm going to send you a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will guide you one step at a time. This is what I don't think God wants to freak you out. I don't think God wants to say, figure it out now. I think God kind of teases you and says, here's what I have for you. Here's the first step. What's the first step in your life tonight? Maybe just coming to church tonight was your first step. Maybe just during the meet and greet time, actually shaking someone's hand was your first step. You know, I used to be one of those people in church, I'd come and I didn't want to talk to anybody. Because I would walk in and I used to always wonder, like I walk into church and everyone was so happy. And they're like, hi, welcome. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, and people are giving you hugs and stuff. You ever try to give someone, get a hug when you're not really a hugger, and they come in to hug you, and you're like, that was my experience with church, and I realized, man, I'm freaking myself out because God wants me to take one step. Tonight, God wants to take one step. Because the problem is, he wants to show us things, but we can't bear them. But the promise that he gives is he's going to send someone to help us. You with me? I love the idea of seeing things differently about God. I think that a lot of our problems with our relationship with Jesus is not on him, but it's on how we see him. The problem is not who God is. The problem is how we see God, what we think about God. I was in a barbershop a couple weeks ago. I was getting my hair cut, and I was reading a book. And I go to this barbershop, and it's just, you ever go to a barbershop, you got to wait like an hour and a half, but you have to get the haircut that day. It was Saturday. There was people outside waiting for haircuts. That's not a good sign. And I walked in the barbershop. I brought a book with me because I knew I was going to be there a while. And so I'm just reading this book. It's about Jesus and just following him and all this kind of stuff. And so I get into the chair to get my haircut. My barber starts cutting my hair. And he says, how do you want your haircut? And I show him a picture of my last haircut. And he just goes, damn. And I'm like, what? He goes, who gave you that haircut? And I'm like, I don't know, someone from here. And he goes, bro, I am sorry. They messed that fade up. And I'm like, they did. I thought it looked good, you know? And he goes, they messed that up. I'm not going to do you like that today. And I'm like, okay, you the man, you know, whatever you need. And so I just keep reading my book, and one of his boys walks in. This guy's all tatted on his face, just big, big, heavyset guy. And he sits down in the chair next to him. He starts talking, and they're just talking about the week and stuff. And I'm reading my book, and the guy leans over. He goes, hey, homie. He goes, what's that book about? And I'm like, it's about Jesus. Jesus? The barber stops cutting my hair. He goes, did you say Jesus? And I say, yeah, it's a Jesus book. And then he goes, you know, they tell us in barber school, two things you're not supposed to talk about in the barbershop, politics and religion. He tells me that. And I'm like, well, your friend's the one that asked, so, you know, talk to him. And they start talking about church. And he goes, yeah, I stopped going to church a long time ago. I'm like, why'd you stop going? He goes, everybody was always judging me. And my church said that I had to look a certain way. And they wanted me to wear certain clothes. And my, you know, my mom wasn't allowed to wear pants. She had to wear a dress every time. He's like, I don't mess with that stuff. And I'm like, wow. And I asked my barber, what about you? He's like, I stopped going to church a long time ago, man. They don't care about people. It's just all about the church, all this kind of stuff. I'm like, wow. I'm like, man, so you're just never going to go back to church? He's like, nah, never. And I started explaining the gospel to them and how churches is more than we think it is sometimes. And there's always going to be disagreements. I just kind of start taking them through the story of Jesus. You know, the gospel is not what you do for God, but it's what God's done for you. And I'm like, so instead of pressuring people, we first got to tell them what's been done, okay? I've vowed in our campus, me speaking every week, I'm never going to tell someone what to do until I first tell them what's been done. You with me? Does that make sense? Because once you hear what's been done, you're empowered now to go do it. And so I'm telling them this, and I said, let me ask you a question, bro. I go, when I walked in, I showed you my last haircut, and you said it was a terrible haircut. He's like, it was a terrible haircut, you know. I said, so what, I've had one bad experience with a barber. Do I just never get my haircut again? His boy's sitting there right there. He goes, okay. Okay. And I got done. I kind of walked out, shook both their hands, told us about their church. Hopefully they go on Sunday, you know. But it's those moments where the problem wasn't the church. The problem was how people saw the church. When we go higher in our relationship with God, it's not what we're looking at, it's how we're looking at it. Does that make sense? You can't control what happens to you in life. You can't control what people are going to say, do, think, how they're going to live their lives. But what you can control is how you react to those things. Jesus says, I want to show you stuff. And it's so that you can see it. When you have God, you can see things. C.S. Lewis says it like this. He says, I believe in God like I believe in the sun. Not only because I see it, but by it, I see everything else. He says, I believe in God like I believe in the sun. I can see God, but by God, I see everything else. See, God is the prescription glasses for your soul. God allows you to see things that you otherwise couldn't. Before I met Jesus, I saw people in a terrible way. After I met Jesus, I started to try to see them like Jesus sees them. Let's be honest, it's easy to love God. It's a little difficult to love people sometimes. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1, and then I'm going to give you a couple thoughts and kind of end, and I'll pray for you tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 says it like this. The Apostle Paul, again, speaking on this idea of I want you to get to the next level. I want you to realize that doesn't work anymore. Where I'm taking you is so much farther than where you've come from, okay? And he says this in verse 17, praying. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may what? Give you. Someone say, give you. So God wants to give us something in this idea. He says, I pray God would give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. I love that right there. That's good Bible. Okay. Paul says, you don't see things with your eyes. You see them with your heart. He says, I want you to have the eyes of your hearts enlightened. In other words, I want you to see something about God you never saw before. That's what happened when you come to the Rock Young Adults here. Like, you ought to see something about God you never saw before. When you come to church here on a Sunday, you ought to leave and going, I see it now. I see my family the way God wants me to. I see my work the way God wants me to. All of a sudden, I start to change my perspective because I'm seeing it how God sees it. Now, in Proverbs 25, we have an interesting text here. Proverbs is written by a man named Solomon. Many of the Proverbs in there are his. And Solomon was known as the wisest man that ever lived. Okay, that's what people call Solomon. The dude had over 700 wives. So I don't know how wise that is, but they call him the wisest man that ever lived. You know, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Solomon. I want to holler at him for a second. I just want to know, what were you thinking? You know, just want to talk to him. But they call him the wisest man that ever lived. And throughout the book of Proverbs, he has these sayings. And he has these kind of instructions that help people get to the next level. He has these ideas that help people assess where they're at, but then also take steps to get where they need to be. And in Proverbs chapter 25, it starts with 7 verses about a king and how a king wants to go to the next level. And I think tonight God wants to take you to the next level. I don't think, I might be wrong, but I don't think anybody came in here tonight hoping that their life gets worse. I don't think anybody walked in here tonight and said, man, I hope I still feel depressed after tonight. I don't think anybody walked in here tonight and said, man, I hope that I still, you know, have this issue tonight. I think you came tonight because you believe that there's something about this place that can change you. There's something about this person tonight. Maybe you're not a Christian tonight, but you've heard stories about Jesus, and you're kind of like, well, I guess I'll give that a shot. This is a place where you can experience not just what someone can do for you, but who someone is. God's nature, what he means to us. And so I want to give you 5 things from Proverbs 25 about going to the next level that I think will work in your life. Because what worked in the past, you know, pegging 3-year-olds with water balloons, might not work where you're going next. Okay, you might have not thrown a water balloon at 3-year-old, but think in your own life, what have I tried in my past that didn't work recently? What things am I still doing that don't match where I'm going? So if we're going to really live this life that Jesus says we can live, yes, he's going to lead us. Yes, he's going to change us. Yes, he's going to transform us. But just as much, there is something in us that has to say, I want it, okay? No one here is going to force feed you Jesus. We're going to tell you who he is, and then you're going to have to respond. But tonight, I want to give you 5 things about Proverbs 25 that I think will work in this next season. Turn to someone and say, it'll work. Turn to someone else, say, work, 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 work. Amen. Number 1, first thing that I think will work in this season is pursuit. Pursuit. What does that mean? To pursue something means to desire it and go after it. Okay? There's a difference between chasing something and pursuing something. To chase something means you're just going after it for the first time. To pursue something means you've already experienced a portion of it and now you want it even more. Look what verse 1 says in Proverbs 25. It says this, verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. I just want you to see this. Solomon says, it's the glory of God to conceal things. What does that mean? There are things about God that he keeps hidden because he wants us to pursue him for the answer. I would go as far to say that some of the questions we have about God, he puts there so that he can lead us to himself as the answer. You with me? I questioned Noah's Ark for a long time. When I first became a Christian, I'm reading Noah's Ark and I'm like, yeah, right, you know? I'm like 2x2, all the animals, you know, I'm like, where's the dinosaurs? You know, asking all those crazy questions, right? And I think the whole point of those questions is God puts them in us to lead us to him as the answer. The Bible says this, Romans 11, it says, oh, how deep is the riches of God. The idea that God's riches, like who he is, that's down there. That's deep stuff. It's a never-ending deep stuff about God. That's the God we serve. He's infinite. Like you could try to figure him out, but you can't. I was talking to a junior higher not too long ago and at our church, and they said, hey, Pastor Billy, I have this question for you. And I'm like, oh, he said, dangerous time. You know, I said, oh, yeah, what's that? He goes, who is before God? And I'm like, God. Questions asking like this, if Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, who's sitting at the left? I'm like, well, you know, I know that one. It's these things about God. I don't have an answer. If you're waiting for an answer, I don't know. Some of y'all were like waiting, like, do you know? But there's these things about God that are like, you don't experience all of him. If you could contain all of him, he wouldn't be God. If you could figure God out, you wouldn't need faith. I've been in my time with the Lord sometimes, and I'm slamming my fist going, I need to figure this out. And he's saying, that's the problem. And I'm saying, no, God, I need to know why this is happening. And he's saying, no, that's the problem. If you knew why, you would be God. So when we know how big he is, we want to pursue him. We want to know more about him. We want to get into a connect group. We want to figure out, how do I live this life? I was in a Bible study last night. Just some random people in L.A. got together. One of my friends called me. He's like, hey, God told me to do a Bible study. I want you to come. So I'm like, oh, cool. It's going to be awesome. And just it was this random group of people. And it was amazing hearing people talk about Jesus. Like one girl had just gotten saved a month ago and just an ex-drug dealer and just kind of stopped selling drugs. And just she had all these questions about Jesus. And I'm like, when did I lose that? Like, when did I lose those questions? Like, what does Jesus' face look like? When did I lose those questions like, how did Jesus heal that blind person? I just kind of hear it. Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus. Praise the Lord. Amazing. But like, what was it like? What was the weather like that day? Who was around? What would that moment be like? Imagine if you knew Bartimaeus and your whole life you knew he was blind. And one day he shows up. He's like, I can see. Like asking those questions brings you into those stories. And you see things differently. So Solomon says, it's the glory of God to conceal things. One verse in the Bible says, you are the God who hides himself. I was like, what kind of verse is that? But he hides himself because he calls us to pursue him, calls us to figure him out for ourselves. Are you with me? The verse goes on, verse 2, it says, it's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search things out. In other words, God is going to hide things, but it's on us to go after him. Okay? I've searched for a lot of things in my life. I've searched for love. I've searched for acceptance. I've searched for joy. A lot of times I was looking for the right thing. I was just looking in the wrong place. The desire you have inside of you to find peace, to find joy, to find acceptance, it's good. The question is not, what are you searching? It's where are you looking for? I believe when you find Jesus, you stop searching, but you start pursuing. Jesus is the end of the search, but he is the beginning of the pursuit. That's good. I like that. Jesus is the end. I'm about to kill this moth on the stage. Jesus is the end of the search, but he is the beginning of the pursuit. You stop searching when you find Jesus, but you keep pursuing him when you find Jesus. So it's pursuit. The second thing is persistence. The second thing you'll need that'll work in this season is persistence. Persistence. To persist at something means to not give up, to not get bored, not get tired, and just keep going, keep going. The Bible says this, verse 3, same passage, as the heavens are for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. What does that mean? We know that we can search for God, but Solomon says within all of us is this unsearchable thing, because you can look inward for your entire life and keep searching and searching and searching. When you're persisting in your relationship with Jesus, you're not giving up. Even on the bad days, you're still going after him. Even on the times where you're bored and things seem slow, you're still going after him. We moved from Palm Springs to LA, my wife and I, and in Palm Springs, I don't know if y'all have ever been there, but it's hot and like in July and August, it gets up to like 120 degrees. I mean, I think Satan lives in Palm Springs, you know? It's bad, like bad. So we moved to LA and we're like, this is gonna be amazing. The weather's gonna be incredible. It's like the first like 6 weeks we were there was raining. So I'm kind of like, well, it's not hot, you know? I'm trying to stay positive. And I remember it would rain for 6 weeks or whatever, just every day, da, da, da. And then like there would be one day where it'd be sunny. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's like gonna start getting better. And then it would start raining again. Or it would be cold again. And I kind of learned that our relationship with Jesus is sometimes like seasons. Like when you know, when it's about to be summer, like it doesn't just bam, it's summer right away. It's like, you know, there's a good day and then it kind of goes dark again. And then like you have 3 days in a row where you're like, it's really nice. And then one day you need like your sweater. Kind of learned that with Jesus. Some days are like not so good. Some days this book doesn't make sense. But you just don't stop because summer's still coming. You know that the season is going to change. And so when you have a persistence in your spirit, you're saying, doesn't matter how difficult it gets, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just not going to give up. I don't get it sometimes. I'm confused at times. Man, I might have dropped the ball. I might have done something wrong, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going and keep persisting. The Bible says Jesus had to do this. It says, for the glory that was set before him, the joy of suffering, he endured the cross. Even Jesus had to persist through certain moments. I think in your life, in my life, we can do the same. And so I got to have a pursuit of God. I got to have a persistence within myself. You ready for the third one? Don't be too excited, okay? Let me just give you the third one. You ready? There we go. Purpose. Got to have purpose. Got to have purpose. Purpose always works, okay? I think that the meaning of life is to discover your purpose. I think we have to discover who we are. Okay, now hear me. What you do is not who you are. What am I talking about? If you work at a grocery store, you cannot allow your job to define who you are. Most people will live their whole lives, they'll start a business, and they'll be known as a businessman or a businesswoman. In the gospel, we don't see that we are defined by what we do. We are defined by what God has done. Okay, our identity comes from him. It's very dangerous when you start giving your identity to something temporary. Okay, it happens in youth ministry all the time. Our years in youth ministry never fails. A girl would come into church, get saved, on fire for Jesus, loves the Lord, she'd be serving, and then like some cute guy would show up, you know, and then like they'd start dating, and you know, we're the youth pastors, so we're like, oh, so happy for you guys that you're dating, and in your mind, you're kind of like, I don't know, I'm gonna pray for you, da, da, da. And then what would happen? She'd stop coming to church, you know, kind of in and out. And then she would come back and she'd say, Pastor Billy, he dumped me. I remember one girl told me this. She goes, I don't even know who I am anymore. And in my mind, I'm like, y'all been dating 3 weeks, you know? But I was just like, she says, I don't even know who I am anymore. And that statement stuck with me because she placed her identity in something temporary. Okay, if your purpose is in something temporary, the moment you lose that temporary thing, you lose your purpose. If you say, I'm going to just make a bunch of money, I'm going to work, I'm going to hustle, my purpose is to work for this company. And if that company ever shuts down, you're going to lose your purpose. Well, my purpose is I'm just going to date someone or I'm going to get married. Even my wife cannot identify me because if something ever happens to my wife, I'll be grieved. If something ever happens to me, she'll be grieved. But our identity can't be based on each other. It has to be based on something outside of this life. It has to be based on something bigger than this life. When you have your purpose, nothing about this life can throw it off. Doesn't matter how much you go through. Doesn't matter what people say about you. I was talking to an atheist a couple days ago, and we were hanging out at some family's house, and she was just talking, and she started saying, like, she had to have surgery, and she knows I'm a pastor, and I know her, she's an atheist. Like, we've already identified that. She's a family friend. And she goes, man, I tore my ACL, and I'm like, really? And she's like, I have to get surgery. And I was just like, man, I could pray for it, and I bet you'd get healed. And she's like, huh, you're stupid, da, 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 you know. And I go, when are we going to talk about this, you know, because I just love to hear what you think. And we were talking a little bit, and I get ready to leave. And I'm like, all right, say bye to everybody. And she's like, hey, have fun at church. Praise the Lord, Pastor Billy. And I, like, in my mind, I'm like, about to go Jackie Chan on her, you know what I'm saying? But I had this moment where I just said, thank you so much, and just kind of walked out. And my wife was like, I can't believe she was mocking you. And all I could think was, there are people in this world that are being killed for what they believe. The least we can do is endure a little mocking. You know, I just had this moment where it's like God showed me like your purpose is bigger than that moment. Because if we're honest, we let moments define us more than they should. I think the idea here is that we're living for something bigger than this life. But sometimes we get so distracted by this life, we kind of lose sight of that. Solomon continues and he says in verse 4, he says, take away the dross from the silver. In other words, when they would mine silver, there would be all this stuff stuck to it. And he says, to find the true beauty of it, you got to take that away. And the smith, the one that'll prepare it, he has material. Verse 5, take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. What Solomon is saying is, your purpose sometimes can get confused with everything else around you. There has to be a separation sometimes. Certain things don't work in the next season like they did in the last season. Certain friendships don't work in this season like they used to work in the last season. Am I the only one? Like, I have some friends that, like, you know, I got some friends, like, I'm gonna come back around. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have some friends that it's like, man, back in high school, that worked. But like, I'll come back around and see how you're doing in another 10 years, you know? Because I'm not saying walk out on people. I'm not saying give up on people. But I am saying notice when something is bad for you. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we come into church and people are like, you got to get rid of all your friends. And you're like, what? But I think sometimes you can identify what's healthy and what's not healthy. Sometimes God prepares you for something, but he wants you to separate first. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Abraham. And before his name was Abraham, his name was Abram. And God spoke and said, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you, you know, many children, descendants. Gives him this awesome promise. And eventually, Abram gets his name switched to Abraham, and he has a son. And he's like, this is the miracle I've been waiting for. This is amazing. God says, hey, that son, I want you to kill him. What? And the Bible says Abraham doesn't even question it. He says, if God did it before, God will do it again. And I'm going to trust God. And they're walking with him and his son and his servants, and they get to the mountain. And right before they're going to go up this mountain where he's going to sacrifice his son, he looks at his servants and he says, you guys stay here. Me and my boy are going to go up there to worship. And if you haven't heard the story before, he doesn't kill his son. It's an amazing story of faith. Like right before he kills him, God's like, hey, I was just testing you. Good job. You know, again, when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Abraham too. I want to be like, dude, what were you thinking? You know, but there's this awesome moment that before they go up, he looks at the people that went with him, says, you guys got to stay here while I go up there. See, sometimes to go higher in life, you have to kind of let go of some of the baggage you've been carrying. Certain things can't get you to where God wants you to go. And I know it's hard to hear sometimes, but sometimes it's what we need to hear. That doesn't work anymore. That used to work. That kind of habit used to work. That kind of, for me, it was always sarcasm and making fun of people. Like, I got saved, and I would be in Bible studies, and, like, everyone was so nice, and then I would just, like, pop some sarcastic comment off and make fun of somebody, and they would just kind of go, what is up with him, you know? Like, and I just realized, whoa, wow, that kind of humor used to work before I met Jesus, but now people see me as a Christian. Man, that means something. So I have to know my purpose. A couple more here as I get ready to close. The keyboard player can come and join me. We're going to pray out in a second. Patience is the next one. Number 4 is patience. Someone say, wow. Yeah, patience is a tough topic to preach on. No one likes to hear about it. No one thinks they need patience until they need patience. Look what the Bible says here, verse 6, Proverbs chapter 25. It says, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. I love this so much. Solomon says, you're going to have these ambitions in life. And you're going to want to go places, and you're going to believe God has something for you. But you have to be patient with that process, okay? I remember the first time someone told me I was going to be a pastor. Just came up to me one day in the middle service, says, God's going to call you to be a pastor. I was like, yeah, right, you know? No, I just want to hang out. And I just remember these moments in my life where I would always go back to that and be like, well, I kind of want it now. When's it going to happen and all this stuff? And I feel like God gives us a picture of the future, but then kind of gives us the patience to wait for it to happen. Sometimes God doesn't care how much you want it. Sometimes he cares how long are you willing to wait for it. Because how long you're willing to wait will reveal how much you really want it. It's easy to worship God when all the lights are on, band is playing, We're singing. What a beautiful name. Like, it's easy. But what's it like Monday in the morning when no one's here to preach at you? What's it like Tuesday when you come home from class and you're just like, ah, I want to quit. Never should have gone to college. Like, what are those moments like? I feel like those are the moments that the Holy Spirit gives us patience. It says, just because it doesn't look like what you imagined doesn't mean it's not what God has planned. It says, don't put yourself forward in the presence of the King. I'm afraid in our generation, we are so about self-promotion. Everyone is saying, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm up to. Here's what I've done today. I think some of it is done with good intent. I don't think it's wrong to share your life with people. But I think it becomes tempting when you take your same attitude with social media into your relationship with God. You almost kind of push yourself into certain seasons. You try to break down the doors that He hasn't opened. You ever been there before where like you're trying to make a relationship work and you're like, man, but I just know, you know, he'll be a Christian if I just keep dating him. Like, God's like, man, I shut that door, but if you want to keep pounding on it, you can. Solomon says, don't push yourself forward. Don't force the door down. Don't, that kind of attitude doesn't work anymore. There is a joy that comes from being patient. I don't even think, this is what's crazy about Christianity. Everything about Christianity says, you're going to be doing this for a long time. Everything about the corporate world is like, hey, you'll get there, and once you get there, you're there. And like, you go to school and you graduate and you're like, I'm done. Or like, you go to work and you work 2 weeks and you get a paycheck, you're like, I did it. There's this completion about everything in life. I think following Jesus is a little differently. It's like, there's never a moment where you're like, I'm done. Like, even in heaven, you know what the Bible says? John 17, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. What is He saying? For eternity, you're going to be knowing God, learning about Jesus. You're going to be face to face with Jesus one day. And you're going to say, Jesus, I think I figured you out. And He's going to say, here's another 10,000 years of following me. And you know what's crazy? There's joy in that. Like, there's nothing inside of you that goes, I just want to be done with this already. You start to realize joy doesn't come from the destination. It actually comes from the journey. It actually comes from knowing Him, learning about Him, being with Him. And that's patience that only God can give. And so the fifth thing as I get ready to end tonight that I think will work in this season, not only pursuit, not only persistence, purpose, and patience, but number five, promotion. Promotion in the right way. The Bible says this, verse 7, same passage, 25. It says, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What Solomon is saying is many of us in life are after that. We're after whatever this is for you, whatever this is. This could be the job at work. This could be the career. This could be the family. This could be writing a book. It could be recording an album. Whatever it is, we're all after whatever that is, that dream, whatever it is, whatever the dream is in your heart. And if you don't have a dream in your heart, tonight God's going to give you one. Believe it's just going to come. One word's going to come to you. What Solomon says is, don't push your way up here. Don't force this. Because what he says is, it's better to be told come up than for someone to say, what are you doing up here? Get down. You're not ready for this. Because what we like to do is we kind of like get up here and we're like, I made it. And then we get there and we weren't ready for it. The goal is not to get there fast. The goal is to get there and last. We need more people that are sticking in this thing. We need more leaders that are saying, I'm not going to give up. We need more Christians that are going to say, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to persist. Doesn't matter if I got 10,000 Instagram followers. Doesn't matter if I ever preach a sermon. That doesn't matter. In your context, God can use you more than you even think sometimes. But he says, don't force your way up here, because it's better for someone else to bring you up than for you to be told, get back down. Man, I read that today. I was sitting in a coffee shop in Riverside, Augie's, and that's the spot. Could preach sermons about Augie's. And I was sitting there and I read that. It's better to be told, come up, than it is to be put down. And it's like, it hit me. I start weeping over my Bible. I'm like, how have I missed this? Like, I've read this verse so many times. And I felt like God said, you know what the gospel is? It's Jesus looking down at us and saying, come up. Because, like, without Jesus, you know what we do? We try to force our way into God. We're like, God, look how many verses I memorized. Like, God, I stopped smoking weed. Look at me. Like, God, I'm not sleeping around anymore. Look at me. Like, God, I haven't said a cuss word in 6 weeks. Look at me. Like, look. And what Jesus did is he says, man, you can keep trying to work your way up here. But what the gospel means is Jesus grabs down and says, come on up. Because even Jesus didn't promote himself. When Jesus first started his ministry, he didn't even say, look at me. Someone else pointed him out. John chapter 1, look what it says. John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River. Okay, if you've never read the Gospel of John, I encourage you to go read it. It's a great starting point. If you're new to faith or you have a friend that wants to learn about the Bible, Gospel of John is a great place to start. John the Baptist is baptizing people, and he keeps talking about this guy, and he says, you know, you guys like me, wait till you see the next one that's coming. He is the Messiah. He is the one everyone's waiting for. And as John is baptizing one day, Jesus starts walking up on the shores of the Jordan, just kind of starts walking. And John looks up, verse 29 says this in the Gospel of John, and it says, the next day Jesus, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's just stop for a second. John is telling someone else about Jesus. The first thing that he does is, behold. What does that mean? He looks at Jesus himself before he tells others about him. Okay? I've got to know him first before I try to tell other people about him. So it says, behold, in this one sentence, he summarizes the entire gospel. He summarizes the entire message of Jesus in one sentence. He goes, this is the dude. This is the guy I was talking about. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Look at that. Can you put that back up for a second? Verse 29. Verse 29 says this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's who he is. Who takes away the sins of the world. That's what he does. He says, if you know who he is, you'll encounter what he can do. If you know his heart, you'll have an experience with his hands. Are you with me? If you know his identity, you'll experience his power. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus didn't even point to himself. Jesus could have showed up and been like, I'm here. But God sent someone else to point him out. If God sent someone to point Jesus out, he'll send someone to point you out. I get it. You have a gift. I get it. You have a talent. You have something in you. But don't rush it. He'll send someone to point you out. In my life, I've never tried to promote myself. I've never been able to like post videos of myself preaching, or I've never been able to do that. It just doesn't feel right. Like, there's moments where my wife's like, man, you gotta share that. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I just feel like the right person I need to see. Because I never want to force myself to something. I want God to open it up. It says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. To take away something means to. Original language here, take away means take away. But what he's saying is there is a burden that you and I could not carry. Jesus came for one thing. He came to take away that burden. This passage in the Bible, Psalm 81, it says this. God says, I have removed your shoulder from the burden. And this really messed me up because you would think God would remove the burden from our shoulder. But he says, I'm not going to take away the burden. I'm just going to put it on someone else. He put it on Jesus. And when Jesus carried that burden, it changed everything for us. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. Would you close your eyes for a second? If you're here tonight and you say, Billy, I've got a burden. I've been carrying something. I believe there's someone here that can change everything for you. And I've talked a little bit about him tonight. You may have heard some things about him. But if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to know him tonight. I want to give you an opportunity just to say, that's me. I want to follow him. And if that's you, with your eyes closed, no one looking around, just for a moment, just someone here might need to make this decision. Say, Billy, would you pray for me? I want to be included in that prayer to know Jesus tonight. If that's you, would you lift your hand on the count of three? One, two, three. Say, I'm not a Christian, or I've been one, or would you include me in that prayer? Come on, can we pray this? Would you say, dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe that he died for me. So tonight I want to live for him. I believe he rose again. So tonight I rise again. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.